Hello, everyone. Welcome to Rock Talk Happy Hour. My name is Mario, here with Kimberly, Britt, and Frank. This is a podcast about craft beer and music, so every episode we try different craft beers. We discuss them, we rate them, and sometimes we learn a little bit about them, all while talking music-related topics. Mm-hmm. And Frank, what's today's music-related topic?
Our topic tonight is, first of all, hello, everybody. Our topic, I just felt like I had to.
Yeah, say it.
Our topic tonight is The Day the Live Music Died, which is a play on The Day the Music Died, which I think a lot of us know about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the topic is The Day the Live Music Died, all the shows that were canceled or postponed that we were looking forward to that we hope will happen in due time. Because yeah, it sucks without live music right now.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, there was always like at least a show. I mean, there are several shows worth like looking forward to, at least like, you know, at least like every month there was something going on, and you're trying to make plans and trying to coordinate everything. But as of right now, I mean, not that live music has disappeared completely. I mean, there's still some, I guess, live streams going on. And then, of course, there was a Metallica drive-in thing that we were doing. And I think also Kim mentioned the Third Eye Blind doing the drive-in stuff, too. Mm-hmm. So live music hasn't completely gone away. It's just in a much different capacity at this point.
I think a good word is struggling too. It's struggling. It's trying to figure out how to come back.
True. You know, and I was reading an article about Australia and New Zealand, and they actually do have like live music pretty much almost 100%.
Oh yeah, because those guys, I think they have like 0% of people now that are. That are like infected or whatnot, or like I forgot how to say it, or not sure how to say it.
They're like at a level one now, and essentially, I mean, if you're in Australia, you're in Australia.
Like they have no cases a day.
Yeah, no, and so live music has returned there, and even though New Zealand and Australia are neighboring countries, I mean, they still can't travel to each other's lands. But I mean, it's cool to know that at least if you live down there, you can go to an arena show with like 5,000, 6,000 people and not have any fear.
Who's doing these arena shows? Like, are they happening? Like, or is it just like
It's like Ticketmaster's Australia and like New Zealand channels. They're hosting concerts right now, so it's all strictly New Zealand or Australian artists.
Oh, okay, that's what I was gonna say. We're doing this thing. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, is it American bands over there? Nah, they probably don't want us over there. Like, they probably don't want anybody over there.
Probably not. Yeah. No, but I mean, but it's a good sign, you know, that Australia and New Zealand are having concerts. Yeah. I think parts of Europe too are having some concerts. Like, I think you mentioned the one about the rooftop stuff.
Yeah,
like you could book a hotel.
Yeah, that's facing the kind of like an amphitheater, and it's just like basically it's like a stacked audience.
Right.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, and I mean, even though live music, like you said, is struggling, I think people are trying to find creative ways to keep it going.
Yeah, you know? and we'll talk more about that too later. But yeah, that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about. But as always, like, you know, before we start off every topic, there's two things we do and two little segments we do. Mm-hmm. One is what are we drinking? And then the other is hangover segment, which is when we talk about things that we forgot to mention last episode or episodes. Just, you know, anything we wanted to bring up before we get into the main topic for this episode. Mm-hmm. So with all that, what's everybody drinking?
So I will start off. I am drinking a Surreal Brewing Co. Natural Bridges Kolsch style non-alcoholic brew, and I think we've had this one on the show before.
Really, that one doesn't look. The can doesn't look familiar. Or
maybe not. I don't know.
I was gonna say you haven't had a Surreal Brewing in a while, have you?
No, I have not. And some of the Surreal Brewings that we've had, I mean, they're really good.
It's a Kolsch.
It's a Kolsch style, yeah. And I think this was one of the first ones that we had of this particular brewery, and we liked it a lot. And then, you know, we found some others, tried those, and but we always gravitate towards this one. But it's good, you know. I don't know. I rated a 5 out of 5.
Okay. For the Kolsch.
It's a really good brew.
For Frank, 5. Okay. Yeah, because I know we got some peeps on Instagram that follow us that, like, are strictly like non-alcoholic beverages too. So it's kind of cool. Like I know who they are already and I see them and they're like, oh, non-alcoholic. And I'm cool. Like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you to Frank for that. Well, Britt and I are drinking the same thing.
Yep.
And I know Kim tried it. I'll let you talk about it, Britt.
Mario gave it to me. It was a gift beer. It's a Sam Adams Alpine Lager. It is brisk and smooth. I don't know much about it. Because, yeah, that's what the label says. So, because we just got it.
Yeah, actually, I don't even know much about it. Let me see. It's
it says it's an unfiltered lager.
5.5% ABV.
Okay.
It's a limited release. What did you think of it? After I tasted it, to me, it tastes like just like a different version of a Shiner Bock. Mm-hmm. I mean, it tastes like a Bock. Like, it's weird because it says, you know, it doesn't say Bock on here, but it kind of tastes Bock-ish to me. Just not as, what's it called?
It tastes dark. I can't tell.
Yeah, it does taste dark, yeah.
Dark bottle, but it tastes like a dark beer. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
So, like, this one was weird because I saw it on the end cap, and I was like, I want to try a single first before I buy it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, eh. I was like, it's rare for me to taste the Sam Adams and not like it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just going to get the six-pack. So I bought the six-pack. I like it. I mean, I would buy another six-pack if I was going to. I'd give it a 5. I like it. Mm-hmm. What do you give it, Britt?
I'm going to go 4.3.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah.
Kim, what do you give it?
4.
Okay, that's still not bad. I mean, it's good. And sorry, they're not as cold as usually I serve the beers. But I think if it was colder, it tastes a lot more crisper.
Yeah.
Kim, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Michelob Ultra.
Is that what you were drinking last time or no?
No,
you were somebody. Okay,
she had it.
No,
oh, that's right. 64.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, sometimes you just have to watch her.
It's fine.
Yeah,
no. Calories and carbs.
Hey, it's a beer.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
Right.
But this is. I don't know. I just wanted something because you said we had a lot of interesting beers to taste tonight.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted something familiar that I knew that I was going to like and be able to drink and not.
Right.
Yeah. Because
down the drain or something.
Yeah. Because this Sam Adams we hadn't tried before. This is like, you know,
it was a gamble. So I was like, I'm glad I brought something.
Yeah. And I didn't try it before the show either. So I was like, oh, you know, I'll go ahead and.
I feel like I'm at like Fiesta or something with this can, this aluminum bottle deal.
Yeah.
I like these though because. Uh-huh. I told Mario, even though this might sound weird, like I had opened one on Sunday. And you know, I was like the twist cap, right? I was just like taking sips of it all week long. Like, so the one same beer lasted me like a week.
It didn't go flat?
No, it didn't.
Really?
Well, Sunday. So I think I'd forgotten about it. And yesterday I was like, oh, and I pulled it out and I was like, oh.
Kind of
so
like
I guess it only lasts like two days.
Kind of like the Faygo too. We had it in there and then like we closed the bottle and I forgot it was in there. And I was like, oh, this is still in here. And I'm sure if anyone saw the cotton candy Faygo that I posted on Instagram that Frank and Britt got us. It tastes pretty good.
Okay.
Wish I had more, but it left me wanting like cotton candy ice cream, but I haven't gone to go get cotton candy ice cream. So,
you know, and actually that bottle reminds me of when I was at Ozfest 2003.
Oh yeah,
I think I told you about this. I'm not sure. It was during Cradle of Filth's set, and I was up in the front, and for some reason, the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater thought it'd be a great idea to sell beer in glass bottles.
What the hell?
Yeah, no, I mean, people were throwing them up in the air, and it was just like raining bottles throughout their whole set.
Yeah, that sounds like
it was bad. Yeah, I mean,
luckily
I was up in the front, so I was able to like signal to the security dudes like get me over the rail so that I can like walk my ass all the way to the back and not get hit.
Yeah, glass bottles. Or living in a bottle.
Glass bottles.
Glass bottles.
I would have asked for glass umbrella.
Really?
Shocking. Yeah, they usually don't do that.
You usually pour it in a cup, and then you have a cup, and then people are throwing their cups with beer still in
them. Yes.
And I think I remember, too, one show I went to where they had aluminum cans. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, I went somewhere, and I was like, what the hell? And they had the cans. I was like, still, like, anywhere now, they pour the, you know, anything.
Even though it seems dangerous, like, if more beer is made like this, like, I'd like to have this at a concert because I could be, like,
You can recap
true.
It,
you know, yeah. and it's not spilling on somebody yeah. or like, on true, myself. Yeah,
yeah.
Or,
yeah, yeah. But you know, someone's going to turn that into a weapon.
I know,
weapon.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It would uh-huh. be, if people could act right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Right? This would be ideal. Yeah.
So you mean like never.
Yeah, you see that.
It'll never happen.
That's why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I don't know if it's Budweiser or Bud Light, but they've got limited edition spurs. Aluminum bottles.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I would uh-huh. get one if it was like a single, but I'm not going to buy like a 12 pack just right, to get yeah. one. And I was like, meh. I was like, I mean, the can looks cool. But, yeah. All right. So that's what we're drinking. I guess we can go into hangover because I have some hangover. I guess I should start it off real quick. So I just want to say last episode was kind of screwed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys heard the first 10 minutes of our last episode. I found out sometime into the episode that I wasn't recording. Mm-hmm. And that sucked. It's never happened to me before. 31 episodes and I never had that issue. And actually more, because I have more podcasts under my belt. I think I did at least 50 with my other podcast. So wow. I'm like 80 yeah. and I've never done that before. So this was like just one time that something happened. I wasn't paying attention and I forgot to hit record and I missed a good chunk of a conversation that we had with Chuck Vans, but I mean, I did get to salvage pretty much like 90% of the show, which is good from yeah. when the topic started. It just sucks that we didn't get to hear, you know, the little chit chat stuff in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I'm glad. I mean, just for, I didn't explain it when I did that little 10-minute disclaimer in the beginning, and I wanted to say it now to get it off my chest. I didn't record it. It just sucks because I always have the screen right in front of my face to, you know, monitor everything. Mm-hmm. And just that one, just that day, I just looked over and I was like, where are the waves? And I was like, crap. So, yeah, sorry to everybody, you know, who didn't get to hear that stuff that we talked about. But I hope you still enjoyed the rest of that episode. It was really good. It was a fun episode for me. I learned a lot. About the supergroups and stuff. Mm-hmm. With that said, does anyone have any hangover on supergroups?
Yeah, I missed a very obvious one mm-hmm. that came to me
in a dream.
The day after, yeah, in a dream. It's a supergroup called Camp Freddy. I don't know if you're familiar with
it. It sounds familiar, but I don't know who's in it.
Yeah, so Camp Freddy is basically Matt Sorum on drums, Dave Navarro on guitar, and Chris Chaney on bass guitar. Chris Chaney of... Jane's Addiction.
Yeah.
And basically they were just a hard rock supergroup that played covers. And I mean, they had some crazy guest artists. I mean like the guys I named were like the core members, but they had Scott Whelan once, Chester Bennington also as well.
Oh wow.
Sebastian Bach.
They had albums?
No, I don't think they played I don't think they had any albums. I think they were just like little one-off shows that they would do for like benefits or charities or whatnot.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And so, yeah, I mean, the whole list, I mean, it's impressive. I mean, because like I said, Sebastian Bach, Billy Ray Cyrus also at one point, Lana Del Rey also.
Wait a minute.
Ozzy Osbourne was also a part of
it. It sounds like they're just getting anybody. It's not like they sent a mass email out and they're like, whoever has time. And,
pretty much,
Billy
right?
Billy Ray Cyrus all like, I can do more songs. They're like, no, just one.
Yeah, but you know, but basically that, you know, they would have like, they would do like a residency show here and there, like in LA. They'll do like a 7-day residency and just like artists would come and appear with them.
Oh, that's weird.
And stuff like that. But yeah, they were primarily just the, you know, those core guys with like a rotating guests
yeah.
list, basically. And yeah, they would just play hard rock covers of anything and everything.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't know. If Ozzy could do it, I mean...
It just sounds weird. Like, who are they covering if they have all those guest artists?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, do they have Dave Grohl on, but like covering like an Ozzy song and then like Ozzy on covering like.
Oh, okay. So what I'm reading here is they actually released two tracks.
Okay.
I'll a cover of Cheap Tricks, Surrender, and Slade's Merry Christmas, Everybody.
Oh, lame. And well, the first one's cool, but the second one sounds lame.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It might be interesting.
If you have that amount of talent, though, why do covers? Why not do like originals? Like, if you know what I mean, that's weird. Yeah,
just for fun. I mean, it sounds like it's just for fun, that's true, right? Like, but they want to play some of the songs that they listen
yeah, like
to.
From what I hear, like one of their more well known performances was a benefit for the East Asia tsunami that happened in 2004. And so, yeah, basically they were just getting together, having fun, playing covers, and you know, they were raising money for whatever you know stuff was going on at the time. Wherever, you know. Okay. So yeah, I think it was just more for fun. It wasn't really serious or whatnot. So
I'm surprised. I mean, I don't know if this is considered a super group or not, but I'm surprised you didn't bring up Hollywood Vampires.
You know what? I thought about that, but then I was like, I don't know.
Do y'all know who that is?
Is that Johnny Depp?
Yeah.
Johnny Depp's. Well, is it his band or he's just in it?
No, it's okay. So it's Johnny Depp, Joe Perry, and Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's those three dudes. And I think Duff McKagan.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I don't know if he's a permanent member or if he's just like a... like a live touring guy or whatnot, but yeah.
So you wouldn't count that?
I would count it.
Okay.
Only because, you know.
I'm going to look it up, see what they sound
like.
Because
the other guys are.
Yeah, the other guys are like well known. And,
mm-hmm. and Johnny Depp, I mean, I didn't even know he played guitar.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I don't want to trash Johnny Depp, but apparently he's not good at playing guitar.
Oh, really? Well, I'll check that out. I haven't. Yeah, I don't know if he's.
But who knows? I mean, from what I read, Alice Cooper has really high expectations of musicians he performs with. So maybe he did some studying and actually can play guitar.
Mm. Okay. Like, who was that guy? I don't know, where he like... didn't know how to play, but like he had played a solo like at some live show. I don't know if it was a rapper or something, but like he just learned that one thing and it sounded like crap.
Talking about Lil Wayne?
Was it? Maybe it was. I don't know.
Yeah,
I just remember somebody trying to play guitar and it didn't sound like someone playing guitar, but I don't know. Anyways, I mean, I have a super group. This one's fairly new too. I didn't think about this one too much until I looked into it today. Mm-hmm. It's a band called Scion, and who it is right now, it's technically a duo, but I mean, they do have other musicians help them out in the studio. So it's Howard Jones of Killswitch Engage, mm-hmm. and Jared Dines, the YouTube guy, the YouTube guy.
Right.
So basically, he wanted to form a band that sounded like... He basically wanted to do something with Howard Jones that sounded like the Killswitch Engage era with him in it.
Okay.
So I guess he got to talking with him. I know he's filled in for like a bunch of different guitarists and stuff, like like big names like Breaking Benjamin and Trivium. Mm-hmm. Like he's like filled in for like some of their guitarists, or like he's done like guest spots at some shows. And so they formed a band, and right now it's only just them two. So Howard Jones, of course, like I was saying before, he's known for Killswitch Engage, and also he has his own band called Light the Torch. Mm-hmm. Before they were called Devil You Know. And then also Jared Dines, he's right now, well, I know he made a name for himself on YouTube, but he also helped create a 20 string guitar that was displayed at NAMM, I think, like 3 years ago.
Okay.
And for those of you who don't know, NAMM is a big like music gear expo. So yeah, he helped create a 20-string guitar because he's a degent guy. So I heard their single that they came out with. They actually came out with a single on March 11th. It's actually on Spotify. It's going to be on our playlist. They even have a music video for it. It's called The Blade. And it's for their upcoming untitled album, and apparently it's gonna be like 7 songs. It sounds more like an EP to me, but apparently right now they're sitting on another 7 songs, and I don't know if they're working on more to make a like a 10 song album or something like that. But I heard it, and to me it sounds like Howard, Killswitch Engage, like if that era of Killswitch Engage had a baby with the degent genre.
Okay.
And with a little bit of like hardcore electronics, just a little bit, because he's a big Jared Dines is a big hardcore guy. It sounds pretty good. I like it. I mean, they only have that one song released. I listened to it on Spotify a couple of times, and I really dig it. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm not a super big fan of Jared Dines, but he seems like a cool guy, and I know he's very, he's talented.
I'm just curious, a 20 string guitar, can you even strum that thing?
It's crazy, dude. Like, if you have
you have to like wrap your whole arm around
it. He did. Like, he was pretty much hugging it. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And I think he played it too. Like, I think there was like a video of him, like, he playing it at NAMM, but I'll send you a picture and I'll post a picture for you guys on Facebook and Instagram. And I know he was on the cover of Guitar World last year. I actually got a copy of that. I thought it was pretty cool. Like he was never in a band. He was just, you know, a YouTube guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up on the cover of Guitar World, which is pretty crazy. So there was that super group. You know, there's that one. And then also to another one that I didn't really know much about. Howard Jones's old band, well, he was with them before Killswitch, and then he got back with them after. Mm-hmm. There was members from All Shall Perish.
Okay.
And then the drummer was from a band called Evolved, but he also played in Fear Factory. So that was like its own little super group in the metalcore genre, which is kind of crazy. Well, Fear Factory is not metalcore, but right. But Howard Jones's band was metalcore. But they're pretty good. I mean, I like them.
Mm-hmm.
Britt, Kim, did y'all have any super groups? Did y'all left off y'all's list?
Nope. I thought I was going to, but I didn't think of anything. And so.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have some too, and I really didn't until I had read some article about this song that came out, and I was like, oh, that's a super group. Because I think what caught my eye was, you know how like Wikipedia is like the first thing that pops up like on pretty much anything?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wikipedia popped up, and then I saw the word super group highlighted. And I was like, oh, they're a super group. And then I went to Howard Jones's page, and it said his band was a super group, and I was like, what the hell? So,
you know, one that I don't really know if I call it a super group. I mean, because there's a ton of them, but one that just came to me right now is remember that video I showed you of Travis Barker and Post Malone?
Oh, yeah. I think that was just like a
one off, right? Yeah, because I think they were like raising money for, I think, like COVID relief or something. But I thought maybe because I think they did like a 6 songs like Nirvana set.
I thought Post Malone had done it by himself, but.
Or maybe, I don't know. But yeah. I just thought maybe that was going to continue. I didn't keep up on it. I just saw those 6 videos and thought, you know, that's pretty all right.
Yeah, I think I heard part of the Post Malone doing, I think I heard a clip of him singing one of the Nirvana songs. I don't remember which one it was. Mm-hmm. But it didn't sound bad to me. I mean, I've heard worse. But I mean, I have. I've like Puddle of Mud.
Right.
Oh, you guys remember that, right?
Oh, yeah. And Travis Barker is one of those drummers that, I mean, he performs with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, much. He does. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think he just likes playing enough to just be like, yeah, I'll do it. Like, yeah. I think he just enjoys like being able to be creative and do like whatever drums. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it.
I think it's cool when drummers do that, because like, to me, like I always see drummers as like, you can put them anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, even if you're in a genre, you can like go with anybody. I don't think it's a little different for like guitarists, because like you have to come up with a melody that doesn't sound like something else that you're doing. Like, let's say like if Kirk, like he's a Metallica, like he has a very distinct sound, or James, like you put him in another band, like you could hear that's Metallica, you know what I mean? But like a drummer, you can move them like, you know, different places, and they can like switch up grooves and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
However, Barker's snare has a specific tuning and sound.
Oh, yeah. No, drummers definitely. So I feel
like you'd have to, like, if.
Well, I'm not saying drummers don't have their own sound, because they do.
Yeah.
But, like, as far as, like, beat-wise and stuff, like, you could put them anywhere. Well, before, I guess, we get into the topic, I'll let Frank kick us off on the topic. Just want to say, well, because we're recording this episode today, April 9th, so y'all going to hear it on the 10th. I just want to say rest in peace, DMX. That was kind of crazy. Like, I saw earlier this week that he was in the hospital because of a heart attack, and I was like, man, that's crazy. And then I saw this morning that he had passed away, and I was like, dang, like he was only 50 years old, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. He released 8 albums between 98 and 2015. So I didn't really realize that his most recent album was 2015, which is not really that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that guy had a pretty distinct voice, like in the hip hop and rap genre. Like,
right, yeah.
it was crazy. Like, what's crazy to me is that every time I heard him, I always felt like he was metal. Like, just so weird. Like, every time I hear him, like, saying. Yeah, like, I always thought, like, oh, dude, he could have easily been in a rock band. Like, because his voice was not like any, you know, anyone else's, too. And the way he sang was more aggressive than some of the other guys,
too.
Yeah,
I was going to say, he had an aggression to his voice.
And then speaking of, like, that aggression and me thinking he sounded metal, he was actually on the Pledge of Allegiance Tour 2001 sampler.
That's right.
He was on a CD along with, I guess I can go a little, I can do a little sidestep here.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a tour that happened in 2001, and it was actually created by System of a Down and Slipknot. It was supposed to be an annual thing, but it ended up, I'll go into that little history later when we talk about shows. But basically, DMX ended up on this CD. So you had Slipknot, Mudvayne, System of a Down, and Rammstein featured on that CD, because it was they were the main ones on the tour. Then you also had American Head Charge, Slayer, mm-hmm. Flaw, 40 Below Summer, Hatebreed. He was like in that whole like little group, like when they put it out, and I was like, that's so crazy. Like, I don't know how that happened. I don't know who he knew. I know the system guys like Shavo and stuff. I know they know a lot of like guys in the underground hip hop scene and hip hop in general, especially Shavo. I don't know about
I read a while back that Shavo was working with, I think, some of the Wu-Tang guys a project or something.
Yeah, they released some stuff. I think the name of the band was Akozin.
Okay.
Actually, that's a super group.
Okay.
So I actually put on. It was members of Wu-Tang and Shavo from System of a Down. Yeah, I think it's Akozin. I think it's A-K-O-Z-E-N. Okay. But I'll look it up. I'll put it on Spotify. But yeah, no, I always thought he had a very distinct voice. I remember friends of mine listening to him like mm-hmm. when I was in elementary, and this is like before I really got into like rock. Yeah, it was crazy.
These kids have parents.
Yeah, they did. It's just I remember like that, like, you know, it was just crazy. Like, and I remember hearing him, and I was like, man, this dude sounds like crazy. I was gonna say he sounds rough, but I was thinking of Rough Riders. And but yeah, no, I have some of his tracks on Spotify, you know, so you know. You guys could check out just to, you know, pay respects or whatnot. Right. But, I mean, apparently he had some kind of connection in the metal, in the new metal genre, you know, back in the day. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was an interesting little
thing. And I remember, thing. I think.
I actually own that sampler.
I think that Pledge of Allegiance. No, I didn't. It was, no, I was thinking of Tattoo the Earth. That's like a whole different tour. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
You know, I get this one confused with music as a weapon, even though it's totally different because that one was disturbed one. But I always get confused when I come across this one. And I came across this sampler somehow because I didn't go on this tour. And I saw him on there and I was like, yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, no, I just want to say that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
No, I think it's interesting that they added a rapper to the lineup. It made me think of the first Family Values tour. You had all these like hard rock artists, and then you had
didn't you have like Cypress Hill in there? Or no?
Cypress Hill, and I think Ice Cube also.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Were a part of it. So, but I think
Ice Cube or Ice T?
It was Ice Cube.
Holy shit, that's weird. Okay. Well, but, that kind of makes sense.
Very Lollapalooza thing.
Yeah.
But it made sense. Genres
and stuff. And Korn being involved.
And it made sense, you know, because it was like the whole rap metal thing was going on, and you know, of course, it made sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Have Ice Cube and Cypress Hill on there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, Frank, you want to, I guess, kick off the topic of music diet?
So I'm going to start off my list.
Music diet, I mean.
I'm going to start off my list with shows that are postponed, not canceled, but postponed.
Okay.
There's hope.
So you have two lists, a postponed and a canceled list?
Yeah.
Britt's looking like, what?
Yeah, because like, I was just looking at my notes and thought, oh, you know, I've got some postponed stuff and some canceled stuff, so.
And you got Post Malone stuff, too?
I got Post Malone.
Oh, you already talked about Post Malone earlier.
Yeah. Post-canceled.
Post-canceled. well, my first artist whose tour has been postponed is Rammstein's long-awaited U.S. tour. This is a band that doesn't tour the States very much. They rarely tour. So I think last time they were here was like 10 years ago or something like that.
That was on my list, so thank you. That was one of my two.
Cool. Okay. So yeah, their U.S. Stadium tour has been delayed for a year after the original dates. And it's cool, you know, because if you look at the tour dates, I mean, it's only 10 North American tour dates. And San Antonio is the only Texas date.
And that's at the Alamo Dome.
It's at the Alamo Dome,
I know, that's insane.
So between here and Canada and Mexico, you know, 10 dates total. I was looking forward to it because, like, one, I mean, who doesn't want to see Rammstein?
Yeah.
And two, who doesn't want to see fire?
I know. That's the first thing I thought about, too. Like, I was like, man, I want to see all that pyro. Like,
Yeah.
And I think that's why Alamo Dome has more breathing room, like, for pyro. Because if you look at, like, Freeman or something, like, I've seen pyro there, like, with Slipknot. I don't know who else had pyro. But I was like, I mean, you have it, but it's not, like, crazy. But if you go Alamo Dome, you got a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Room.
More room for
getting
the-
there.
Yeah.
And parking, because it was like the worst venue ever.
But there were...
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's cool. It's really not important. I'm trying. I was just going to say that at the Alamo Dome, there's more room for the penis cannon.
Oh yeah, I've seen right, videos right. of yeah, because like yeah, yeah, you got yeah, you need room for that. Yeah, you need room for that. You definitely need room for that.
But I was excited for that tour to happen because you know who doesn't want to see Rammstein and also
I don't know.
Yeah, because we all wanted to go to that one.
Yeah, we're all gonna go. And also, I mean, the fact that they don't really tour the states very much, and the fact that this is the only Texas date that made it you know even more special. But before the pandemic forced them to postpone this U.S. tour, they did successfully complete a sold-out stadium tour throughout all of Europe. So at least they got to do that part before they were forced to postpone. But something good, though, came out of the postponement. They actually recorded a new album while in quarantine.
Oh, cool.
There have been other details on that, just that they have completed an album. It is ready to go. They just haven't announced any other details as far as like release dates, any promotional stuff or anything like that. So I think they're just sitting on it right now until I guess there's like a good point later in the future where they can release it.
And I think there's a lot of bands doing that. Like I heard stories of like a lot of bands like sitting on albums because like the whole COVID thing, like they can't really tour them like they want to. And I mean, of course, there are exceptions too. Like Chevelle released their album, but there was a lot of bands that were all like, "Nah, we're gonna hold off and like release it, like once everything starts to come back to normal." Which you know,
yeah.
So. And I guess I don't know. For me, I think initially one of the things that I thought was a little weird was artists who were releasing music during the pandemic and thinking, "What's gonna be like at least a year or two before we see like this album live or something."
Yeah, that too.
But then I was thinking, you know, maybe like maybe we need that. Like maybe we need to hear new music because it gets us excited for when these artists do start touring again. Like we already know what's coming.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, you know, just having to not go to shows right now and just hearing new music, I mean who doesn't get excited at the prospect of hearing the stuff live?
Yeah, you know, that's true.
So yeah, Rammstein is not canceled yet. So far, they're just postponed, and fingers crossed, maybe this tour will come to fruition, and we'll just see what happens.
Well, speaking of Rammstein, I'm just gonna attach what what I have to what you just said.
Yeah.
Going back to Pledge of Allegiance, I didn't know what was up with that tour because I didn't go to it. This is like 2001, and I was trying to like figure out like what. Because I thought it had gone on more than 1 year. So I'm doing my research, and like I was telling you guys before, it was created by System and Slipknot, and it was meant to be an annual thing. So it was Slipknot, System of a Down, Mudvayne, and Rammstein. Those were the main four. And then they were backed up by American Head Charge, this band called No One. And yeah, I think those were the two supports. So I don't know if you know the story on this, but what happened was during the tour, like I think a few weeks in, Rammstein dropped, and they dropped because I think apparently like there was a multiple reasons why they dropped, but one of the reasons was September 11th had happened, and one of the members like felt like a lot of I guess like tension like being here in the States for some reason, so he actually fled, like he left the band behind and like just left back home without telling like any of the tour staff or anything. So then they pulled out, and then a few weeks after that Mudvayne dropped, and then some weeks after that American Head Charge dropped. So I think it kind of put a bad taste in like Slipknot and System's like mouths, like trying to like get a tour, you know, a big tour with big names together, and then like you have three of your six bands drop in like the first month. So I think that kind of like killed that tour. It was supposed to be an annual thing. And then the weird thing about that, too, was they did release a live CD from shows that were played. And what's weird is no one knows why, but the only band left off that album is Rammstein, which is crazy. Like, no one knows why. They haven't heard any reasons, you know, why that was the only band left off. But pretty much every other band that was either in support of or played, they're on the album.
Except you know, and them, the, and the
which
funny,
is crazy.
And the funny thing about Rammstein too is I think it was in 2001 they did their first like proper U.S. tour, and of course it was their first time touring the United States as a headliner, and I saw a documentary and they actually ran into a lot of problems because apparently they did not know that American indecency laws are far more conservative than European indecency laws. So a lot of stuff you can do in Europe, you can get away with. You just can't do over here. So yeah, they were getting fined after.
What the hell were they doing?
You know, just.
I mean, I know about the canon, but.
Yeah, I mean.
I think they do a lot of like theatrical sort of acting out of various scenes and things, right?
Okay. Like in their music videos or something?
Yeah, pretty much. On stage. And also on stage too. And of course the audience knows it's fake.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but there's always someone who's gonna like report it and say something. So I think they learned very fast that the stuff they can do in Europe they can't do over here. So that was their first experience doing their first run of the US was, you know, they were paying more money to bail people out than they would have paid just to like pay the fine.
Yeah.
So, but that was an interesting thing. I mean, of course, Rammstein is one of those that if you know who they are, I mean, musically, they do have a lot of humor in their stuff. Even when it's disguised, yeah, you know, you can definitely tell like they have a very unique social commentary on things. And yeah, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, I mean, I would just say just study a little harder. Just, you know, because you're going to find
stay
it.
Stay in school, kids. Stay in school. And you'll understand Rammstein.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
There you go.
Kim, you got any show?
Not at the moment.
Brett, you got anything?
Frankie and I had tickets to see the English Beat.
Okay.
In Austin. And that was his Valentine's gift that year. And it was for April. So yeah, it was this time last year. And it got canceled and no news about rescheduling or anything. So
that sucks.
Yeah, sad. Because they're pretty awesome. I saw them live one other time and it was fantastic. So
yeah, hopefully. I remember you talking to us about that last time.
Yeah, they've come up in another show too because we talked about their name and how they had to rename themselves for their that's US right. audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of, I know we're talking about concerts that, you know, because we miss shows and stuff. But what was the last concert that y'all saw? Or that y'all went to?
Last concert.
Like before, obviously before all this happened. But what was the last one y'all went to?
I don't know if this counts, but
he's always got to have a technicality.
Like a busker. It was a busker on that corner, the corner.
Yeah, right? We saw this guy playing guitar. And
no,
we threw
but,
some pennies into his guitar case.
We did see Pinata Protest at a Bernie Sanders rally. But
was that
it was
the last thing we saw.
The last thing we saw.
That does sound like a super spreader event if it was during COVID.
No, it was like February of last year.
So yeah, right before. Yeah, that is before.
Right before. But I mean, I think the last thing that we went to, I mean, it was when we went to see that hockey game. It wasn't a concert.
Oh, that doesn't count then.
But
it's not our sports show. Sports. Bringing up sports every episode now.
Sports talk happy hour.
Man, I can't even say that.
I know,
sports
right?
Sports talk happy hour.
I think I'm at that age in my life where I bring up sports every now and then.
Well, you've got the dad jokes and the conversation.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. We're in trouble.
Kim and I, we were supposed to see Third Eye Blind. Silver Sun Pickups.
Right.
We were supposed to see Silver Sun Pickups in Austin. And that was, I believe that was February too,
it
right?
It was February. It was the weekend of Valentine's or like right before.
Yeah, that's right. And
I had COVID before COVID was cool.
It kind of, yeah, like we didn't, like when COVID happened, we're all like, because obviously no one really knew what COVID was. Mm-hmm. So when the whole COVID thing came in and the whole like lockdown thing started, we were like, well, shit, did you have COVID? Because like she was sick and we didn't know like why she was sick and like whatnot. And then I remember we were going to go to Austin and it was like misty and ended up raining in Austin. And it was cold.
It was at Stubbs.
Yeah. And so we had
Mario wouldn't let me go.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think we should go. I was like, don't worry. We'll have other opportunities to see them. Yeah. And then shit, this happened. And then I'm like, well, fuck. And then she's all like, we should have just gone. Now we're like stuck in the apartment. Like, you know, and this was like months into quarantine.
And I don't think I had COVID. I went to the gym at work like once. And then the next day I felt terrible.
Yeah.
You know, gym.
She probably just caught something.
Yeah.
And so
I like to say that I had COVID before.
Yeah. So that was the one that we could have seen and we had tickets for. And then the one that we did go to was, I believe, it was Chevelle, wasn't it? Chevelle was
December.
And yeah, it was the December before COVID. So, I mean, that sucked. I mean, I couldn't really think of any other show that I was looking forward to aside from that Rammstein one. Because that was the one that I was like, all like, oh, yeah, you know, we should buy tickets. And,
yeah,
I don't know. What was the last show we went to before? It may have been something at the Paper Tiger. I don't know. Do you remember? Maybe, it was, you know, I think it was the Toadies, right? At the Aztec?
I don't remember. Honestly, we saw the Toadies at the Aztec. Yeah, so I don't know when the hell that was.
I think it was the Toadies, December 2019. They were doing like a New Year's Eve run of shows type thing, or like an end of year type run of shows. And they played at the Aztec. That's and I think that was the last like show that we went to.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. So I guess ours were December then.
Yeah.
Which sucks. Because that's over a year of like no concert. Yeah. I want to get back to that. And then also, I wanted to do not really a little timeline, but there was a thing here that I don't know what episode it was. This was sometime last year. Might have been like December or something. Mm-hmm. So this was the last update I saw on it. I wanted to see if there was an update to the story that we had talked about. But on November 11th of last year, Billboard posted an article that I couldn't read. So I was like, fuck you guys. So I ended up finding it on Pitchfork. And Pitchfork.com, we were talking about an app that Ticketmaster was going to use. Well, actually, it was going to be their app, where in order to get into shows, you were going to have to be verified that you had the vaccine, or you were going to have to show verification that you were tested negative for COVID 24 to 72 hours before the show. So I looked online to see if anything came up with that. And apparently, I guess because all these vaccines came out and like different companies were coming out with them, and now, you know, people are starting to get access to the vaccine. I'm not sure they're doing that anymore. I think it's going to be more along the line of, like, for now, the social distancing thing, like the pods and stuff. I think we can talk about the Corey Taylor show in a bit. Oh, yes. But yeah, so, like, it was this thing where, like, the app was going to be connected to, like, a third-party health information company the testing or vaccine distribution sites were going to be connected to the app. And basically, if you got it, it would, like, show that you got, that you were vaccinated along with your ticket to go in. And if you weren't vaccinated, then you wouldn't be able to go in. But this was in November. And it's crazy how things have changed in like the past 4 months. Now we have, you know, what, like four different companies with vaccines now, I believe. Or at least two for sure. But
three
like
here.
Three. Yeah.
And then I think there's another company.
There's another one in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then March 4th, so this was last month, RollingStone.com was saying that most large-scale concerts and tours in the U.S., they can't return until 2022. And I was like, well, I wonder why. And it kind of makes sense. And it's because, you know how, like, right now, I think Texas is doing all right as far as, like, new cases. But, like, other states are, like, struggling.
Yeah.
Well, they were saying that that's why. Because you can't have any kind of, like,
cross-contamination, so to speak?
Have a large-scale concert, like, tour where it's like, oh, we can go here, but shoot, we can't go here, and we can't go here. Oh, but we can go... You know what I mean? So what's the point of doing the tour if you're only going to do, like, three shows instead of, like, a possible 15 that you could have done, but you can't hit certain states? So I was like, well, that kind of makes sense. So I didn't really, like, look at that, but they were saying that, yeah, like, so far, it looks like everything's out of the question until 2022.
Right.
Because they had talked to the president of U.S. Concerts from Live Nation, and he said that, oh, yeah, with the way the vaccines are looking, like, we should be looking back to normal by summer 2021. And a lot of, like, people, like, who have venues and, like, are inside, they didn't want to say their names, but they're all like, First off, that's impossible because people are still getting vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Second, there's a lot of venues that are struggling to just open up, period. And it's the whole thing about, well, oh, we can't open to 100% even if we wanted to, because for a lot of these, it has to be like, well, it has to be 100% like steady, because we can't spend more money and resources to, I guess, have the show. With that amount of people, and then like for it to go away again.
Yeah.
And then you're operating a half, and they're like, it doesn't make sense. So on top of like, even if that was the case, a lot of venues still aren't ready like themselves to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's gotta be baby steps, whether, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and from what I read actually, something along the lines of that was that indoor concerts probably won't resume until fall of 2022.
Yeah.
But outdoor stuff will probably resume early fall.
Yeah.
So amphitheaters and stuff, because you have room to spread out and whatnot, because, you know, it's open spaces. So I think we'll probably start seeing some amphitheater shows happening later this year. But as far as like arena shows, yeah, it may be until next year is from what I read.
On a smaller scale, there are a lot of indoor venues that are already having shows, like our Sam's Burger Joint has been hosting shows pretty much this whole time.
Yeah.
And I think the Aztec is back on board, and the Tobin Center and the and Majestic.
What capacity are those, though? Or is this still like, it's still the social
Aztec
distance, right?
Aztec is really big.
I think,
but I mean, like what percentage are they? Like,
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I mean,
well, I shouldn't ask that question because it's definitely not 100%.
No,
like, because they don't know who's vaccinated, who's not. So it's still got to be some kind of social distance thing.
No, I mean, I'm not sure, but I think it's the same thing where, you know, you buy like your group of tickets. You and, you know, whoever you're going to take, and then you have like a reserve space for you, and then you have like a buffer zone, and then the next group has their own area. So I think that's how it's going to work. And I think as far as like seats go, like if you purchase seat tickets, I mean, I think they're just going to like buffer everybody out. So you buy your one ticket, and then the next two seats are empty, and then the next seat is occupied, and then the next two are empty, and so forth like that.
Yeah. I think England were the first ones to try that last year when we first talked about it, where they had like little pods where it was an outdoor venue.
Right.
And then they had like just these little like, what were you say? Like 5x5, 6x6 squares or whatnot.
Something like that.
Uh-huh. Something like that. And like, it would be like up to between 4 to 6 people, and like everybody, all the squares were like spaced out. Mm-hmm. So like you had your own little like pod. And they're saying that they want to implement that more, especially with the outdoor stuff. But
But it's tricky. I mean, logistics wise, because.
Yeah.
I mean, like, one, the venue has to have the resources to be able to
have...
Oh,
yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's one reason, too.
They have to have the resources for that. And two, as an artist, would you be willing to perform to a much smaller crowd, which in turn means not so much revenue coming in as well, too, you know?
Yeah, because also, too, a lot of these bands... Well, yeah, I mean, also, like... With the whole capacity thing, like a lot of these bands make money on the road off of their merch. Mm-hmm. So like if you don't have like the full, you know, you're still losing, you know, you're not gaining as much as, you know, if you would. And it's not even about gaining. It's just about making, you know, making the money that you should be making.
Yeah, of course.
Because a lot of these bands don't make money off their albums and stuff. Like, for instance, when we were talking about, did we talk about Chevelle on the show? About how they're not making money from their albums because of their label?
Yes.
We did, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so like bands like that, and there's a lot of bands in that situation, and they make their, you know, money off of the merch strictly. So,
And I think in this case too, because merch sales are still happening, and I think I would imagine artists would have to get creative and have unique sets of merch so people can keep buying and stuff, you know, because until live music returns, I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of their merch sales are still happening from online stuff. And so I think artists right now just have an incentive to maybe just be a little more creative with like what they have to
offer
and whatnot.
I feel like we've bought quite a bit of merch this past
year. I've tried. Yeah. I've tried to buy merch definitely. From bands online.
Uh-huh.
But even too, I also tried to buy like the live streams too, like just to help them a little bit. I think I bought at least 3 just in the past few months. Right. So, but
plus the Metallica thing.
Yeah, oh, plus yeah, that too.
Yeah.
So
not that they're like hurting.
Yeah. Yeah, those guys were actually, I think, donated to like one of those Save the Venue things or whatnot.
Okay, cool.
But you already for a beer break, y'all want to try something weird, because we haven't tried anything weird in a while. This is Martin House.
Okay.
So
they have a lot of weird stuff.
And I thought this one was interesting because we haven't had Martin House in a while. This is a Grapeful 8. Grape lactose sour.
Whoa.
First off, yeah, that I'm not, like I said, I think I said it earlier, I'm not really big on grape. I don't know if you are. Okay.
I guess, like a grape soda, like once in a blue moon. But
let's see.
We'll see.
Kim, would you do the
lactose part that's freaking me out?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So like what I was telling Kim, I was like, when I first read the lactose part, I think we talked about lactose last time. Oh. I know Frank said something about it too. And it adds like a little bit of a creaminess to it. Uh-huh. And I was thinking it's going to taste like a grape, a creamsicle.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm thinking.
I'm fine with that then. I love creamsicles. So.
We'll see how this goes.
It smells like a grape soda.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Because the Faygo was actually very, we were talking about it. It tastes like grape medicine.
Oh,
yeah. Like that's the grape Tylenol from when you were like a little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what it tasted like to me.
It really tasted like melted grape popsicles with a little hint of Tylenol taste.
Yeah.
Delicious.
The grape Tylenol. That's grape what it tastes Tylenol. Like with like in fizzy form. I'll go first.
Or y'all can drink it together. I don't care. I'll drink after you.
It's the lactose. That lactose has a distinct smell.
Yeah. Do you want to smell?
That's interesting.
Your face.
I know.
Well, it's because everything's split. Like, I taste the grape, the sour, and the lactose all separate.
To me, it smells like...
It's weird.
It smells like cough syrup. Like grape cough syrup.
It's a lot nicer up front than it is
yeah.
on the back.
Yeah, like I think the sour is what kills it. The flavor, I mean.
Why does Martin House always want to make the weird, like the stuff that you wouldn't want to be sour, sour?
I think the lactose like and the sour combination is bad. I agree. I think you can either have a grape sour or the lactose and grape,
yeah.
but not all three.
Yeah.
Like you have to pick.
Pumpkin pie sour. Like, oh, yeah, they just want to make everything sour.
You're right. I forgot about that. That was not cool.
Like, why couldn't we just have a nice grape beer? Like a
yeah, isn't that beer. Unique enough?
Right?
Yeah.
In itself, you have to add milk.
I think I give it like I want to say like a 2.
Really?
Mm. I mean, I could swallow it. Like, you know what? It's not one of those beers where like I want to spit out. You know what I mean? Which we've had on the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the sourness doesn't taste bad. It's just the combination is weird. 2.5. I wouldn't. I can finish it, but I wouldn't get another one.
Yeah, for sure. I'm gonna say the same.
2.5.
Yeah.
I mean, Kim, what do you say?
Really, guys? I say like 3.5.
Okay.
I mean, I could have gone that way too, but I mean, it's just weird. I don't know. Sorry mm-hmm. you couldn't taste it, Frank. No, actually, I'm not sorry you couldn't taste it.
You're okay.
You're good.
It just tastes like grape soda with sour.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, it's
unsweet grape soda with sour.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought the lactose was going to come through a little bit. I tasted it's in there, but not like heavy like the other ones that we've had.
Mm-hmm. True.
Like the green sour apple one. I don't know if you remember
that
one.
Yeah, I remember that one.
So that one you taste the lactose. And that one's actually a pretty good combination, the sour apple with the lactose. I don't know why that one worked. This one doesn't. Not
still, the two worst beers we've had, I think, are the ham beer.
Oh, yeah.
Which, and the smoke one.
Oh, the smoke one. Yeah. That one was...
Liquid smoke.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I believe... Did we have that one on the show? I think it was after we had recorded.
It was afterwards.
Yeah, it was like off the mics. And that one was... Yeah, that one was interesting. But, yeah, no, definitely. And I think the main issue with that Big Red beer was... Or the Rojo, whatnot, was it really was, it went bad. I really do think so. I think
you
that,
think so? Mm-hmm.
I think it had to do with them not refrigerating it, right? And then us, I mean, I don't know, we had it refrigerated. That's the only thing to me. Like, it just tasted bad. It's like probably the worst beer that I think we had on the show. And then I think I've had a few off the show that were horrible and that I gave like a 1. But those were bad too. It was an IPA. But anyways, back to the shows. We were talking about indoor shows like being separated and whatnot. Which one of you guys had the info on the Corey Taylor show?
I got the email on it and I sent it to you like a screenshot.
And that was supposed to be like socially distanced too, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's what the flyer said. Socially distanced show.
I don't trust the venue that's hosting that though.
What? Oh,
Vibes Event Center. It's the one across from Alamo City Music Hall. It used to be Backstage. It's that little shitty one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't trust them having anything that's would be
responsibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
I also feel like I don't trust the people because there's been a lot of people that have been cooped up for a while. They want to go to a show. They want to get, you know, crazy, whatever, whatever. Like you never know like how Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I know that's with any show, but I feel like even more so now that people have been cooped up, and this is like mm-hmm. one of the first big ones that I've heard that's coming here or anywhere.
And isn't that just like a general admission style?
Well, it is a GA
room.
Yeah, it's just a room. And you know what, how I pictured it? They would have like little squares with like popsicle sticks, and then people just like kicking them and being like, green tape.
Electrical tape or green, like stage tape.
Stage tape, yeah. They're going to have to stay. But yeah, I mean, I don't. Frank, have you ever seen a show there? Or have any of you guys? Yeah, I haven't. Yeah, you've seen a show.
Is that the one that used to be 210 Capone's?
I believe so, yes.
So, yeah, I saw Breaking Benjamin there with 10 years.
How big is it?
Ago. It's
rabbit size or no?
It says right here.
Oh, yeah, I've been there before. It was, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, venue capacity, it's 1,800 people.
1,800? Yeah, but I'm trying to
But it's just GA. Like, it's just like a.
Yeah, it's just like.
Oh, okay.
And when I saw the show there, it was.
Okay, I know how to figure this out. So, you said it's 1,800, right? What's the White Rabbit capacity or Paper Tiger capacity?
It's like 800, I think.
Huh.
Well, okay.
It's double the size.
So from what I've read, it's 800 in the main room. But when you open up the side doors, I think it capacity is also I think it's also like 1,100.
Oh, okay, yeah, that don't count then. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's the same size as Alamo City Music Hall, right? Because it kind of seems like okay. Mm-hmm. But shitty? I don't understand. Why do they have those two right next to each other? It's like they're like connected, aren't they? Kind of.
I guess it's because if you're an artist who can't fill the one space, then you play at the other one.
They should have had it outside. No, never mind.
Well,
no,
like when I saw a Stone Sour there, and then that ICP show is right next door.
Ugh.
At the album.
Was Frank there?
At the ICP show?
Yeah. Well, you probably couldn't tell because it's face paint.
It was a Friday the 13th known. In 2017.
It was a guy dripping in cotton candy Faygo.
No, but you know, I think Alamo City Music Hall, they used to have shows in their that little outdoor space between them.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I saw a couple of shows out there.
Yeah, and I think even Lama God played a show there too.
Yeah.
Like in that outdoor area.
Well, we saw CKY at the Alamo City.
At the Alamo City Music Hall, yeah. I mean, but it's nicer in there.
It is.
The other place seems more.
The other place is like a garage or something that put like a stage in, it seems like.
Oh, kind of like the old White Rabbit when they had like a third stage and it was like that behind that pizza restaurant.
Yeah,
turned into the pizza restaurant.
Turned into a pizza place.
Yeah, it was just like a room with a shutter and they opened it and man.
I don't know. The last time I was there was like 2016, so. It's been a while.
Well, it's weird because I've never been there with it being Paper Tiger. I've never been
with
it.
No. I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about
You're talking about... Oh, okay.
But I never went to the White Rabbit. I had only been to it as a Paper Tiger.
That's so...
I saw Bad Sons there.
That's so crazy. Man, you...
I remember
the days, the days of the White Rabbit. I understand why, and I'm glad you weren't allowed. You remember that dirty ass couch that was in that back room?
I remember,
everybody was. It was there for years,
the lounge couch.
Yeah, the lounge couch, and it was like it looked like somebody was like, "Oh, there's a free couch on the side of the road," and they brought it there. But like everybody would always chill on it, and it was like it was disgusting. But like this was like back in the new metal days, and like. We were just there,
and also too.
It was hot as fuck back there, sweaty, and that's another thing too. Everyone was always sweaty back there,
and also too in the main room they had a picnic table.
I remember that. Oh yeah, I think they ended up moving that outside.
Yeah, which was like random. Like,
yeah, I remember.
It's just there in the way having a picnic table.
Yeah, I mean it was an experience, I should say. Like if you were able to go to the White Rabbit during the White Rabbit days, like it was just even if you. And then playing shows there was a whole different experience
because
the booking people and then like when it changed from two stages to three to four when they used to have the state performing like outside. I don't know if you remember between the pizzeria and the second stage.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I don't know if you remember the booking parties with
I remember
with Rick.
Do you want to describe the booking parties?
Okay.
Britt, have you ever heard the story of the booking parties?
Yeah.
So Kim, have you ever? No, you haven't.
A few times.
Okay.
So for those who don't know.
I never went to one, but we did have our German. I sent our German to one time.
So for those who don't know, the booking parties were very unusual. So you and your band or you and several people of your band would go on Thursday nights when there wasn't a thing going on. And there was these booking parties type thing. And basically the original owner Rick, he would sit on the stage with a little desk and a notebook. And he was like, all right, I'm thinking of a number between 1 to 10. Whichever band can get, you know, can guess or comes closest to it, I'll pencil you in for this date at this time. That was pretty much it. Yeah.
Still drawing popsicle sticks or something.
I know, right?
Yeah. And that's pretty much how it went. So it was just a guessing game.
Well, there was another.
Even that's more professional than thinking of a number.
And I don't know if he had
any number like changes his mind. He's like, oh, I don't want that band to play.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Well, there. I have two stories. So I don't know if he had changed that system, but there was another one that I had heard from somebody that was in a band with us too. Was that you would go and you would write your name, your band's name, on a sign, and they would like.
Like having a bid?
Yeah, and you would like pick your band's name up, and they would like try to figure out like, okay, well, these two guys can do it. So, but like they would try to structure you like that. And I don't know if you remember this because I think you went with me, but you remember Taco Land?
Yes.
Okay, so Frank and I never played a show at Taco Band, but at Taco Band. Taco Land.
Hey, new place. New Taco,
Taco Land, but we tried, right? So what happened was, I remember I don't know if he was the owner or what, but we went and we were like, well, I didn't know how to book shows there at the time, right? So I was like, yeah, we want to book a show here. He's like, okay. So he pulled out a notebook like this. He's like, here, pick a time slot, right? So we picked the time. He's like, just write your name in there, right? So we wrote our name and the date or whatever. So then, I'm promoting the show. I don't know if you remember this. So we're promoting the show, and then it gets closer to the time, and I think I called him for a question or something. And he said, yeah, you guys aren't playing that day. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, we went in, we talked to you, and we wrote our name on a notebook. Well, apparently it was his notebook that was just on the bar counter, and someone erased our name and put their name on there. So like you could just write whatever the fuck you want into that notebook. Oh, and basically that's what happened. That's so we never played Taco Land. And this was before, like, I guess it closed down. But somebody erased our name. So whoever the hell you are.
Now it's close.
You'll get your comeuppance. Close. Yeah.
Well, now it's called. Now it's like a little hipster taco place called the Velvet Taco. Oh,
really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll go and maybe try to play there or something.
Yeah.
Maybe they have a.
I don't know if it's a venue anymore. I think it's just.
No,
a
we're
taco
gonna play
place.
There. No, so we're gonna play there.
Okay.
We'll busk on the corner
on the sidewalk.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Everybody's so desperate for live music, they'll come.
Oh yeah, they'll come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll have t-shirts too. But yeah, that's the only thing I wanted to say about shows. I mean, it's either going to be the pods in the inside or the pods outdoors. I know there's a lot of amphitheaters that, like you were saying, are starting to open too. But I mean, at least till, and it makes sense too that 2022 is going to be, you know, the year for them to actually come back the way they were before.
Right.
And who knows what venues are still going to be, you know, left, because I know there's a lot still struggling.
Yeah. I think realistically, outdoor shows are probably the best, safest way to do things right now. And it's also too a matter of the venues having the means to make that happen.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I definitely wouldn't mind seeing a socially distanced show. I just want to be at a show already.
Yeah, you know? And you know what's weird about the outdoor thing too is that, like, you have to, like, even a touring band that would try to do an outdoor show, like, at any given time, because of the different regions and their weather patterns, like, let's say you're here and you're like, oh, like, the weather's fine here, like, it's 75, and then you go, like, north, you can't play an outdoor show if that's your only option, because it's, like, fucking 0 degrees or something, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's just, like, if you did a tour like that, like, oh, yeah, in the south, you can play outdoors, but in the north, you'd be playing indoors, so that has a lot to do with it, too, and then who knows what the venues up there are going through, you know, and stuff like that, so, I don't know, it's just a lot of, like, logistics, I think, just to get through, but... But yeah, 2022, I think, is the year. I mean, we'll probably be able to go to maybe one show this year if we're lucky. But
yeah,
2022.
I think also it depends, like, if you're satisfied with seeing a smaller show, I think that's much more doable and
that's
realistic.
True,
if you've got to be at some gigantic arena show, then yeah, you're going to have to cool your jets.
Yeah.
There was still pods left over for the Corey show.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Yeah. When is that? Oh, I think I wrote the date. Oh, it's May 21st.
Okay.
So we got about.
Where is that?
Oh,
one?
Shoot. It's next.
Oh, you don't trust the vibes.
It's not that place.
Vibes, yeah.
Okay.
You don't trust it.
Yeah. It'll probably be like
double mask and.
Yeah. It'll probably be like a pod, and then like you stand in it and it just like breaks or something.
Oh, my gosh. You're dramatic.
The pod is made of popsicle sticks. Look, I don't know. It just. feels sketchy to me to go there. Like, you know what I mean? To see, like, a show of that caliber.
Right.
Well, yeah.
But no,
you're
but
like, Corey Taylor, and you're going to have it here?
But how
and y'all are going to keep us safe?
I know.
And, everybody, and you're going to enforce COVID mandates?
Yeah, I
don't think so. No way. Keep people in their pods. And,
keep people having so masks gonna, on like, and stuff.
Serve beer or anything where anybody can get, like, belligerent and out of their pod and escape or fight or something.
Yeah.
Mosh.
Don't want to wear their mask.
I mean, I was just curious as to what the tour is looking like. Is it?
A lot of them were sold out.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean.
Oh, I see here. Oh, okay. So it's like a legit.
Yeah, it's a tour. Like he's.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So Arizona, Texas, Tennessee. Okay. Dang. Okay.
Yeah. He's going. Yeah.
He's a going.
Well,
it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm sure people are going to be posting videos and stuff, so it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out.
Well, we'll talk about it. I mean, if y'all want to try going, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
go to something.
I've been to sketchier places.
Oh, that's for sure.
I mean, I love Corey, but I don't know that I'm feeling his solo stuff much.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing, too. Like, I heard some of the solo stuff, and I like some of it, and I don't like some of it. So that's another thing, too. It's one thing that I want to just see Corey, but another thing is, like, oh, do I really want to see his solo stuff? Like, I'm not there yet, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I think it's one of those things of just being so desperate of going to a show again.
Yeah, but, no, I definitely get that.
Yeah, but... Well, that's all I had to say.
There's only like five of his shows that aren't sold out.
So it's here in...
Arizona, Lubbock, San Antonio, Houston, and Iowa.
Oh, wow. It's mostly... Iowa. Wow, Iowa? That's weird. Iowa and Texas.
It's not Des Moines, but it's an Iowa.
Yeah, still. Wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
Huh. I guess. I mean... Huh.
Well, I mean...
I mean, it all depends on how that state's doing with their, you know... COVID stuff too.
And if the majority of his shows are sold out, I mean, well, good for him. That's
good for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
does Frank have anything else? I know.
Yeah.
Had,
do you have anything else?
Of course. Unofficial list. Yeah. Official and unofficial.
I mean, we could try one more beer too before we leave. You know, sure. Anything.
Yeah. I guess I'm just gonna blaze through these.
Oh shoot. So he did have a list. Well, floor's yours, five man. Floor's yours.
So my next one that is postponed, a tour we're looking forward to is Pet Shop Boys in New Order. That was supposed to be a joint, co-headlining, tour. So both Pet Shop Boys and New Order, we're going to switch out every night as headliner. But that's also been postponed for a year after the original dates. Last I read, I mean, it's still happening. I even went on the Ticketmaster website. And there's still like a good number of seats left at the venues. So
are they coming anywhere near here?
No.
Hmm.
Nah.
What's the closest they're coming?
Like Denver.
So you want to go to Denver?
Yeah.
It would have been. I mean, it'd be cool.
I mean, I know y'all go out to shows.
And also the Rammstein show. You know, here in San Antonio, the Alamo Dome still has like plenty of seats left.
Yeah,
but also too, that show's like six months out.
How did they do that though? Did they refund the tickets to the original date? Because I was like, well, or did they like
from what I read,
because I was gonna say like once you reach a certain capacity of tickets already sold and you didn't refund, like how does that work?
Yeah,
I don't know. From what I read is, I mean, they're still honoring tickets,
so they are
from the original dates.
Oh wow, that's
and
weird.
They also still have seats
available.
So
yeah,
that's interesting. I had tickets with some friends of mine to see Adam Ant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. He's touring and playing his entire album, Friend or Foe, and other stuff. And it was originally for April of last year, and then they rescheduled it for like September, and then they rescheduled it for April, and now it's rescheduled for July, I think.
Dang.
So it just keeps getting pushed down. And so no refunds when they told us to hold on to our tickets. I mean, it's like the same... supposed to be same seats, same everything. So I really don't know how that's, but that one's up in Austin at the Empire, I think.
Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't think I've ever been there.
We've been there, right?
Is that like an Aztec?
Yeah. It's the Majestic.
Oh, the Majestic. Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying. Okay. Okay. I've only been to a few handful of venues in Austin. I've been to Emo's, Stubbs, Mohawk. Yeah. I think I've only been to those three.
I really like the Mohawk.
Yeah, I like the Mohawk too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the top balcony. Level. Yeah, the balcony
yeah.
level.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. I've never been up there because I like to be in the front, but it's yeah. just cool. I like how it's outdoors. And
Right.
Stubbs is all right. I mean, it's
Frank
not
and
great.
I saw a show at the Mohawk yeah. when it was like 20 degrees and snowing.
Yeah, I saw. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it was drizzling when I saw a show there. And then I saw AFI there once too. Mm-hmm. And then Emo's is all right. I mean, it's big, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
It used to not be, right? That's one yeah, that that's was moved another, around a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a, that was a. The, so the location now is, I think it's bigger than the first one, right?
I went to
I know
one
you,
show
you,
at the original Emo's.
Yeah.
It wasn't a nice venue.
No, it was really tiny. Oh, okay.
No, the restroom awkward. Floors were sticky.
Oh,
okay. There were pillars all over
oh,
the place.
Oh, yeah, the pillars. That's where we uh-huh. saw Bad Sons. Those pillars suck. I saw something else mm-hmm. there, and I was like, what the hell? Like,
oh,
why?
Yeah, they have like a – well, this one has like a – like they're like the poles,
yeah.
So I guess the old one. Well, that was another yeah. one. I think I had never been there, but I saw videos of it. Trees in Dallas, I think.
Yeah,
I think that was a. Oh, so fucking Bonds. Bonds. The stage has a pole in the middle.
It does. Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah, we played there a couple of times. I remember taking the lift up there. That. Mm-hmm. Shaky as shit lift.
Yeah.
And so we would go up there, and then there's a pole in the middle of the damn stage.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, not like a dancing pole, but like a square pole. So like it's weird, but
and I remember too the same thing at the Live Oak Civic Center.
Yeah, Live Oak Civic Center too.
There were also poles there.
Why
too.
Why have poles everywhere? That makes no sense.
Well, I think because
it has to hold something up. Like, it seems like they're probably important.
True. Yeah. But I mean, like regular structures uh-huh. like this don't have poles in the middle. Like I mean,
I'm
not sure, but
I'm guessing they're bigger than my house.
Reinforce them with if you don't reinforce them with steel, you're fine.
You're like the Alamo Dome doesn't have pillars. In the
yeah, the Alamo Dome doesn't have pillars going through the middle.
But I don't think the Live Oak Civic Center was intended to have shows originally.
Yeah, no, that was like a little too. Like hall for like your yeah. kids or something yeah, yeah. a wedding
yeah it was pretty it was pretty horrible
yeah
it was pretty horrible.
I remember like I went to three shows there and man you did not want to be crowd surfing.
Oh yeah, no, yeah.
It's like a high, like a elementary school cafeteria where there's like a stage in there but yeah. like yeah. and like that linoleum floor.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Uh-huh. I mean, so I have a beer break real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
This is by Saloon Door Brewing. It's a shit. It's called Canadian EF. It's a maple vanilla coffee imperial cream ale. Cream ales are good. They're like cream sodas.
Okay.
But this is a maple vanilla coffee. Yes, and has a Canadian mousse on it.
Oh.
And it's 9% ABV. So this will be our. Last one. Kim, you want to do the honors?
There, I got a fresh glass. Fresh one, I didn't yeah. want grape like, mixed cool with maple and
it's cool
because
we can share. So while we do this one, Frank, what else is on your list?
Okay, so those are my two postponed ones, and these next three are the canceled ones. this one we had tickets to. It was a festival in LA called the Cruel World Fest.
Smells like coffee.
Smells like coffee.
Sorry. Sorry.
That sounds like
That's all I smell now.
It sounds like a B-side.
A Nirvana B-side. Nirvana.
Dude, it smells strong. Dude, do you like smell coffee. It? Dude, I smell it like I didn't even have the can in front of me and I smell
it. Oh, yeah, it does smell like coffee.
We tried that hard coffee that we had. I don't know.
Oh, the Irish one?
I don't know why we did it. We just wanted to try it. And it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It tasted like Bailey's, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah,
super
good. Bailey's. But anyway.
Oh, anyways, yeah.
Well, BBR has a hard coffee, right?
Yeah, they do. And that y'all got it for me, and that was actually really good.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah, yeah. The Cruel World Fest. We had tickets for that. It was happening in LA, and it was basically like every 80s,
our dream show.
Yeah, it was like every 80s fans' dream lineup. Just to mention some of the artists, Morrissey was about to perform there, Bauhaus, Blondie, The Church, Gary Numan, Echo and the Bunnymen, Devo. So it was like a total new wave festival. But then, you know, of course, it got postponed originally to September of last year. And then altogether decided just to scrap it. So I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But there was a lot of talk about it in that particular music scene.
That's a lot of groups to get on one page.
Like huge groups.
Yeah. And of course, you know, they're going to have like multiple stages and whatnot. So,
dang.
Yeah. So that sucked.
That sounds like the Ozfest of 80s music.
It does, right? And I remember, like we got the tickets, we were excited, and then all these lockdowns started happening, and then, you know, we ended up having to get refunded for that, so that was a bummer. So that was one that we were looking forward to. Another one that I was looking forward to that also got canceled was Kraftwerk. They were supposed to be doing a summer tour last year, a 3D summer tour, and that also got canceled as well. I think originally they had tried to postpone it for the end of last year, but then they decided altogether just no. But I think they're doing European festivals this summer, and that's about it. They have no plans after this summer, so whatever happens happens. And so it's another bummer. And the last one that I was really looking forward to also did not happen. Nine Inch Nails were supposed to tour last year.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
And actually they had a lot of merch like already like in production for this tour. Mm-hmm. So what ended up happening, you know, they had to cancel, and all the merch sales ended up benefiting local food banks for the cities they were going to play in anyway. So, you know, regardless, some good came out of it because, you know, one, they donated all the proceeds of their merch sales to local food banks. Mm-hmm. And two, they also released two instrumental albums last year as well. So, you know, even despite like not having shows to go to, I mean, I think in some ways, like the bands still tried to do a good thing out of a negative, you know? So, you know, like,
the ones that could,
Yeah, the ones that could. And like you said too, like Metallica, they donated some money to like to venues and whatnot. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, it sucks because you look at all the list of shows that were going to happen and then everything got either pushed back or just altogether canceled.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a bummer. You know, everyone's feeling it. The artists too are feeling
it.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, but also too, interestingly, like I've been reading articles about like artists and how they're taking this time, I guess, to just like really, I guess, reassess themselves,
their careers, whether they want careers, to quit the band or no. I'm just kidding.
And also too, you know, like you read about some artists who are like, you know, it's nice to take a break from like being on the road for like 250 days out of the year.
And again, those are like for the ones that can like afford it, like Metallica, they can afford it. But like, there's other bands where like they only live off of like touring nonstop, and some of them like just touring nonstop. Like some of them. Like, that's, like, what... Right. But, yeah, I mean, every situation is different, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know... But it's definitely interesting, too, to read the perspectives of some musicians. Yeah. You know, there are some who, you know, they've had to go back to working day jobs.
Some started podcasts.
And, of course, and there are some who are, like, a little better off and who are actually able to, you know, enjoy having the time off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still, I'm sure they're all itching to get back out on the road,
yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
And of course, you know, like I said, there are live streams happening. There are drive-in concerts happening. But again, I don't think it satisfies that itch.
Oh, yeah. No, it doesn't. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like a tiny little thing, but it's nothing like getting in a bus and being on the road, you know.
Oh, you're talking about them. I was like, us? I was like, we never gone to a show on a bus before.
No. I'm talking about the artists. About the artists and stuff. And also, too, you know, for their crowds too, you know, because, you know, used to think about, oh, okay, I got tickets for this. Okay, now I gotta like plan my day, and it becomes a little bit of a chore.
Yeah.
But you actually start to miss that, you know, like you start to miss like spending money on that, and then you start to miss planning your day accordingly, you know, just to go to the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know there was a few shows that we were like, damn, the next night is a work night. How are we going to do this? Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Driving back from Austin.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, but they end up being worth it. You know, then it all comes back to like just wrapping it up to like the very first thing that we talked about was like us skipping that Silver Sun pickup show saying, oh, we'll get to see him again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then like a month later, COVID happens and we're like, what the, like, what are the odds? You know what I mean?
Yeah. We took all that stuff for granted. Yeah. And so many other things too. Yeah.
But also she was sick. I didn't want her to.
No. Yeah. Was, you made the right call. Yeah.
but it was one of those things where I'm like, we're good.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No. But well, before we leave, I want to try this beer. Oh, wait, Frank, do you have more on your list? I don't know what your list looks like.
No, that was it.
Okay. Yeah. So this again, before we finished off Frank's list, this is a maple vanilla coffee imperial cream ale. Like I said, I like cream ales. I don't know how this tastes. Kim, have you tasted it yet? Okay, I'm going to go first. Go for it. This is good.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah, yeah. It tastes, you can taste the coffee, taste the vanilla. You taste the syrup at the end, which is weird. Ah, I give it like a 4.5.
Dang, you like it.
Yeah, I like it. Because like when I first took it in, I was like, oh, it tastes like some kind of like Starbucks coffee. But then like the end is what makes it different, which is that syrupy taste, which is weird. Yeah,
coffee ice cream. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What do you give it, Britt?
Probably lower than you. Okay. But
are you a big coffee person?
No.
Okay, that's why.
No. And you know, I like the smell of it. Yeah. And I like it. Yeah. I'm glad it exists, but I'm not, it's not me. Yeah. No. So I'm going to go 3.2. I would not ever order that at a bar or buy it in a store.
Yeah. I don't think I would eat maybe once in a while, maybe occasionally, maybe. I mean, cause I did like it. Would you
go with her too?
3.2. Okay. Yeah, no, it's very
not bad. It's just not. Yeah. Like not a flavor palette. I'm interested.
I think I would have liked it more with the style and the coffee and vanilla minus the syrup. Okay. I think the syrup what kind of kills it a little bit for me because the syrup
that's what
lingered.
Makes it Canadian.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
and the mousse.
And then like if you see, I don't know why it says it, but it says where is it? It says F.
Like no, but yeah, because they say that's how they say A. Like A. That's how they end their questions.
So,
how's it going, A?
But what about the F though?
A F.
Oh, I get it now. Canadian okay, AF, I didn't get it. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so it's A, not... Okay,
yeah,
A.
It's A.
Yeah, A. Uh-huh. All right, well, I totally missed that, but I was looking...
Well, you know what did it is I stayed in school.
Oh.
And I can interpret Rammstein.
Oh, okay.
And also okay, yeah. Canadian coffee beer cans.
Canadian beer can jokes. And also, too, just to this was like a few episodes back. We were looking at some beers from, what is the name of that brewery? So, like, you're all like, oh, that's the name of a Beatles song. And, oh, that's the name of a Doors song. Carbach.
Uh-huh.
So, I looked and I did some research.
Okay.
And it's just, they just picked random ones. Some of them are, like, named after songs. Some of them are just named. Like, it's just like, you know how, like, some, like, any beer, like they're all like, oh, they try to like do something, and like for instance that Martin House one has like the Universal Monster on it, but like it's just there.
Okay,
so basically yeah, those two,
just those couple were the only ones.
Yeah, okay. They were just one off, so I was trying to see if like, oh, maybe they are all named after some kind of song, but
or they
not.
Had like a particular few like part of a special release or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was going to be a group of just like music ones, but no, it's just like one
just
those
of two.
Yeah, just those two.
And it's Love Street.
That's Love Street the door song.
And then Strawberry Fields.
Yeah, or? Strawberry Fields. Okay. Yes. So I was like, yeah, that was like an old thing that I forgot to tell you. But anyways, I mean, that's all you know we had. I think so. Next week we're not going to do an episode. Me and Kim are going to be off.
Oh, you're going to go party? Well,
yeah, we're going to party because it's going to be our anniversary. Yay. One of our anniversaries.
Oh, nice.
Like,
so,
wait, that's not when you're married.
No, yeah. No, it's one of our other anniversaries. Okay. Yeah. So, but yeah, no. So, I think next episode, if y'all are cool, we'll do the, because I know we're not all like familiar with it. I am, though, but with earworms. So, earworms are songs that got stuck in people's heads and couldn't get them out. So, that'll give us 2 weeks to do research on that. Just to go into it. So basically, we'll just talk about like songs that are known to get stuck in people's heads and like, you know, just stuff like that. Or even if you had a song that got stuck in your head that you hated If I was trying to think of some, and I know there were some, but I couldn't think of any. I was like, mm-hmm. maybe I'm glad. I'm trying to keep.
Yeah, yeah. Your brain is protecting you.
Yeah. So when we come back in a couple of weeks, we'll do earworms. So if there was a song that you had stuck in your head and you hated or you liked, let us know. You can go to rocksockhappyhourpod.com. You can listen to all our shows on there. You can check out our playlist for all the bands that we mention on any episode. And also, too, check out the last episode with Chuck Vans. He's putting out some good stuff. I heard his last episode, and he plays a lot of stuff, like I said, that's new from artists that, you know, don't get a lot of attention, both nationally and local. So it's pretty cool. I mean, I listen to a show while I'm working. Any closing thoughts?
I just want to say that there is a Nine Inch Nails inspired beer called Pretty Haze Machine.
Oh, who makes that?
It's a hazy IPA. I think it's a Green Man Brewing.
Okay, I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah, so it's got the same artwork and everything, or similar artwork.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
That's really pretty.
But yeah, I don't think the band has anything to do with it. I think it's just this guy is a fan and just decided to make a beer that's...
Like the Carbach beers.
Yeah.
Because there's also one, too, that's... it's like a Motorhead inspired one, but it has nothing to do with, like, it's not a collaboration. Okay. But, like, they, like... They have like a Lemmy lookalike on the can, and I forgot who did it, but yeah, there's, you know, breweries do that just to, you know, do it. But yeah, no. So yeah, we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. Check out our past episode, and then give us some thoughts for next episode, and then we'll see you guys in the next two weeks for episode 33.
Sounds good.
All right.
Cheers.
Bye.
Literally. Bye. Bye.